Alrighty, we are back. This is The Morning After with Ben and Josh, of course. And on the other end of the line, we have ACT MP James McDowell. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic, especially now that you are on the other end of the line. We are on the fringes. Last week, we talked to Tianu Tuiono. And, of course, now we're talking to you.
Yes.
It's a great time.
So, I guess we should just start with, you know, who are you? What are you about? What are your expertise in your parties? Yeah, in your party, in the ACT party.
Yeah, sure. So James McDowell, originally from Auckland, but based in the Waikato now, went to uni there. And yeah, I mean, one area of expertise is immigration, I suppose. I co-own an immigration law firm with my wife. So one of my portfolios, therefore, is immigration. And issues around defence as well I'm working on, what's going on in our backyards, South China Sea, some of those other more contentious issues, and tourism is the other popular portfolio, so and a lot of that links in with immigration as well,
yes,
and hospitality in there, and so that's been pretty fascinating getting into that, and talking to, you know, hotel owners and business owners, that sort of thing.
Very cool.
I'll get this out of the way at the top of the show. You're a vegetarian, am I right?
Oh.
How do you even know that?
we do
research,
our research.
Research, yes.
Man, you've got to follow me. Yes, I am a vegetarian.
See, I just say because Josh is too.
So am I. So, you know, we're just nice to have that shared linkage. So since the election last year, what have been some of the highlights or potential lowlights for the ACT party?
I think one of the highlights recently was the motion we did on the motion we did on Xinjiang, which is the Xinjiang province in China. So that's the Uyghur issue. So that was pretty successful, like actually getting a debate on that, because to get in a debate on something like that, you've got to have all parties agree.
Yeah.
And so getting everybody to agree, including the government, to talk about this, and clearly China wasn't going to be very happy at it, but they did it anyway, so that was cool. Another one a couple of weeks ago, we had our conference, and I mean, it's a non-election year, so it's always interesting to see how many people come to things, you know, the election's so far away. I think we had sort of 500 or 600 people at that, so that's really good. Professor Des Gorman came to that. He's a bit of a legend on COVID-19. And I could go on and on, but anyway, a personal highlight, I suppose, is my work on immigration. You know, actually, sort of, you know, affecting people's lives apparently, and I've managed to get some little wins there, so that's very good. Low points. I might be biased, but in all honesty, we've been doing pretty well. I think it's disappointing that we can't do more in opposition. You know, we can call out bad policy, we can propose better ones, but at the end of the day, the government can kind of steamroll whatever the hell they like. That's the same thing in, you know, in select committees as well. You know, they've got a majority, so you know, you wish you could do more. Sometimes you can get things changed. I mean, that little immigration issue the other day was a good example where I just called it out and I said, this is really dumb, and he, to my complete and utter shock and amazement, stood up and said, this is the immigration minister I'm talking about, you know, stood up and said, oh, yeah, that's an unintended consequence. You're right. That's correct. We'll fix that. And I'm going, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Anyway.
What is the next big goal ACT are looking to accomplish?
Yeah, we're currently in the process, actually, of refining our campaigns and our policies, very much with an eye on the future. So I think the next big thing would be the launch of sort of that alternative vision for New Zealand, based on maximising our opportunity of our COVID-free status, and just making sure we don't have another brain drain. You know, that's another issue that could be around the corner. Once borders start opening up, of course, and ensuring that we aren't left behind. So I can't say too much specific about it because it's still being worked on, but it's basically the next big thing will be a big campaign from us that's very refined and very focused, and I think will provide everybody a good alternative vision.
Very cool. Earlier this month in Parliament, you said no new initiatives at Immigration New Zealand, no aspiration, no real solutions for migrants overall. In your opinion, what does the government need to do in order to, I guess, better our immigration policies?
Oh, God, where do I start with that? I think they'd have to start accepting reality around local workforce and around migrant workforce, and they seem to be in this funk of, like, refusing to accept that, you know, there are just some industries and some jobs that Kiwis don't want to fill. And I think if you look over the last sort of 14 months or so, it's been perfectly demonstrated. You know, we've had no immigration effectively, and the problems haven't gone away. So I think accepting reality is a good one. In terms of the more immediate issues, I mean, you've got, let me think, about 10,000 stuck in the EOI queue, which is expression of interest to, for residency. And then you've got about another 10,000 who are in the residency queue and are moving absolutely nowhere. And the delays get more and more each month. So that's the more pressing sort of immediate issues they've got to deal with. I think as they open up the economy back up post-COVID to the world, you know, they've talked about this immigration reset. What does that mean? And I think it's, I mean, it, frankly, I think it's all bollocks. I think they're just going to flop it back into nothing, and they're just going to accept the reality. So yeah, that's my two cents. I've got a lot of thoughts on immigration, but the whole thing's a mess.
Yes, well, last week on the show, Tiana Tuiono asked if you support the Green Party's open letter to the immigration minister. That's about, of course, pathways to residencies and amnesty for overstayers.
Yeah, I've briefly read it. I don't spend too much time on Green Party outputs, but I briefly read it. And my initial reaction, it wasn't sort of overly detailed. I think it said one of the bullet points was we need pathways to residency, and my reaction was, well, we already have those. They're just broken. You know, they're just basically stopped, and people can't progress through them. So what I was kind of looking for is what else are they proposing to replace that? And there wasn't much there. Nevertheless, I agree with the gist of that. If I read between the lines, yep, the pathways thing is an issue. Amnesty for overstayers is a bit more of a contentious issue. And I'm kind of see that a few ways. I think first and foremost, it's important that we fix the myriad of issues for those who have been following the rules. And have been terribly mistreated. I mean, between the EOI and the SMC, we're talking 20,000 people who have been following the rules and through no fault of their own have been basically stuck in limbo or at the point where they've got to go home or their families are on the other side of the world, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got to solve that first. The other thing with overstayers, we don't call them overstayers, it's called being unlawful in New Zealand is the correct terminology. You know, look, in my business, before entering Parliament, we helped people who are unlawful all the time. It's deportation in New Zealand doesn't really work like it does in Australia and in America. It's not quite this dramatic thing where they crash into your home in the middle of the night and arrest you and deport you. We've got it's a two-stage system. So you get a notice of liability first, you get some time, and there's a process that we have in place to actually become lawful to get a visa, even if you're here unlawfully. So we've got a...
You may have just cut out for a second. Oh, there you go. You're back. Sorry, it's just the phone cut for a moment there.
Yeah, fair enough. It's probably the old Parliament building I'm in. Yeah, so I was just saying we've got a reasonable system in place already that will help people go from being unlawful to lawful. Immigration New Zealand could do more to actually help people through that because kind of at the moment they rely on advisors and lawyers to help people do that. And, you know, when you're overstaying, it's, you know, often you haven't got a lot of money and it's a bit tough to go that route. So, but that being said, I also don't think that it's particularly moral at the moment to be going through that process and deporting people during a pandemic. Sending people back to countries that are ravaged by COVID. But the point remains, I think, look at those who followed the rules first. The overstaying thing is not quite the same as what people think, I think.
Fair enough. Well, as another thing.
Apologize for my long-winded answer.
No, you're okay. No, that's very good. Another thing that we talked about last week with Tianu was the education review, and these are his words, not mine. I'll preface that. He said about the ACT Party, if they're denying history, what's next? Denying gravity. So, what are your thoughts on the education review, and I guess New Zealand history and the way it's taught as a whole?
Yeah. Well, I will also preface this with education is not one of my portfolios, but I'll try and do justice to your answer. I think one of the issues with the New Zealand history curriculum is that it's fast becoming a Labour Party indoctrination. I think they're getting quite excited about this. And, you know, look, we're very pro-education. We created the start at charter schools and the partnership schools, and they were doing incredible work for Māori and Māori kids. So we're not denying anything happened. We're not denying history. We're just asking for an accurate representation of our history and a positive mindset for the future, which includes history of all people that came to New Zealand, and actually looking at all of these positive things that we have done as a country, the technological contributions, et cetera, et cetera. So we just think that it's become, you know, the curriculum shouldn't be filled with political ideology. It should just be, you know, teaching the kids to learn and think and you know, make their own minds up and provide a good comprehensive document of New Zealand. But just don't agree with the way it's being done at the moment. That's
Fair enough.
And finally, Tianu Tuiono, of course, will be on the show next week. Is there one thing you want to say to him / the Greens as a whole? Of course, we are making a chain, as we've experienced today.
Very interesting back and forth. Yeah, there is. So there's this issue about SNAs, which is really rearing its head at the moment, and it's in the news all the time. So these are these significant natural areas. So my question to him would be, how does declaring land owned by Māori an SNA, that's a significant natural area, uphold Māori rights under Te Tiriti o Waitangi? So that would be my question.
All right, fantastic. Well, we'll make sure to ask him next week, and we'll get back to you with the answer. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning and talking to us and giving very fantastic answers to all of our questions.
Yes.
Genuinely, I feel like I've learned a lot, and yeah, we really appreciate your time.
Great. Yes. Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, James McDowell, 8MP.
See ya. Cheers, mate.